Yeah, sounds like it.
I kept watching that show.
Uh-huh. That's Tim Kearns. I'm Rick Moore. And this is North Shore Sports Night for a Monday night.
I pull silver away.
Bill Proposky is our... I know, I thought he was saying... what did I think he was saying? I don't know. Anyway, Bill Proposky is our producer and engineer. Bill Newell will be
a lot
later on.
Is he the master?
No, it was a guy named Moore, wasn't it? Although, let me turn this off. Although, on radio it wasn't.
Oh, now you're going to really touch it.
Yes, will you put your mic on, please? Get your mic on.
But you see.
No, that doesn't work. You got to use this one. We've only been doing this for 11 years. Oh, coach.
Yeah, I... No.
No, don't say it.
I know, but you gave me another set last week, and I thought that...
No. There we go.
Okay.
All right, so...
On
radio? Do you remember who it was?
Oh, God. Well, you know, I was actually...
I bet you know.
Born in the age of television in 1953. So, listening to serial shows on the radio was not my thing. I know it was your thing. Who could it have been? Wasn't anybody of the real fame, I don't think.
You ever hear of a TV show called Cannon?
Really?
William Conrad.
William Conrad?
He was the original Lone Ranger.
Really?
How about that, huh?
Wow.
I think. I'm going to have to look it up on Google, but that's what my memory tells me. Well, look it up. Look it up. Okay, anyway. Yeah, William Conrad. The original Lone Ranger. That had to be back in the 40s, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
So,
Well, 40s into the early 50s, and then the TV show, I think, was late 50s.
All right. And Jay Silverheels was probably the first and only Native American who was acting regularly at that time. He was excellent. And he was in a couple of movies on his own, finally, and it's too bad he didn't get the leading man roles that he would have probably gotten today, you know, because he was terrific.
Yeah. There were several other Native Americans who had the opportunity to, but his was the most. There were movie roles that were really secondary or tertiary roles, but Jay Silverheels was always impressive.
The other guy I liked too was, remember Woody Strode.
Woody Strode. Oh.
I love Woody Strode.
Oh, Sergeant Rutledge.
Wasn't he cool?
What a great movie.
Anything he was in, but that was a great movie. Yep.
That was
great.
And that was one of the first movies where a black cat had a lead role.
He was
awesome.
That he
shared with Jeffrey Chandler.
Yeah. He's way better than Jeff Leach. All right, we have to take a quick break because we have to make a phone call. Right off the bat, we got to talk to Mike D'Agostino. He is the St. Mary's boys soccer coach, and then we're going to talk some football playoffs probably for a good portion of this program tonight as the playoffs begin on Friday night. So we'll be back right away with our first interview.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Roger Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
All right, we're back now, and I actually get to listen to Mike D'Agostino live now instead of at 11 o'clock when I check out the voicemail. Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Doing great.
Love the reports, and you've been calling in regularly win, lose, or draw, but boy, you haven't lost very much. Tell us about what's going on.
Oh, we've had a great October so far. You know, we don't have a loss in October. We've got a couple ties and a bunch of wins, so we've been doing well. We had a rough end of the September, but, you know, we played two very talented teams with Concord Kyle, and ranked number 4 in the state and number 16 in the country, and then Archbishop Williams, who was number 18 in the state. So we gave them two good battles with a 1-0 and 2-1 loss. But and then we beat Williams 4-2 at our field, so we definitely gave it to them.
You've had some big wins during the season, Mike, and it sounds like you probably have some. You spread the teamwork around is what I'm trying to say. You've got scoring. We've heard the scoring. Tell us a little bit about who your leaders are on offense, then we'll talk a little bit about defense.
Yeah, offensively, you know, it's like we started the season a little bit different of approach, and, you know, I was focused on a 1 and 2 kids, but a lot of other players stepped up, like Chris Garcia, you know, has been really stepping up on the field offensively for us. And then in the end of September, we made some changes with the offense, going with more of a power formation, where Nolan Perez has stepped up big from the back. putting the ball in net along with Alou George as offensive forwards. And then in the middle of the field controlling would be Joseph Donkersbong. And Thiago de Oliveira have been doing a great job of controlling the middle and getting some goals for us.
All right, and your forwards, I guess they're called forwards in soccer, am I right?
Yep.
Okay, well, they have to come back and help out your defense with such a good goals against record. So tell us about how your defense works.
Well, our defense, you know, we switched that up too with our formation a little bit in our style of play. But, you know, Christian Couillard has stepped up big for us as a senior captain from Lynn. You know, in the back and guy in the middle and controlling the defense. You know, and then I got a ninth grader who played last year for me in the state final, Jose Del Valle, that he just got cleared to play again. He's been banged up and out for a while, but, you know, the beginning of the month of September, he did phenomenal, so he's back and give us some more depth in the back. And phenomenal for us, who was out all last season with a broken toe, Ryan Ramsey from Danvis, came out of nowhere and just earned a starting spot, and he's filling in the shoes in the back too, so... But the three of those guys leading the role in the back is really helping us out.
Excellent. What about net?
In net is Richie Mateo has been playing net from Lynn. He's got four or five shutouts this year. He's had some spectacular saves and is doing well leading the team. In net, he's got all this, the goals against. He's doing great. He's keeping it down. So we're not letting many goals in. Defensively, looking good.
I like the way you've mentioned where the kids are from. I appreciate that because, you know, we got listeners all over the North Shore. And you got a good mix this year from all over the place?
Yeah, mix from everywhere. You know, I got kids from Salem, Peabody, Danvis, Revere, Malden, Lynn is primary. You know, it's a mixed variety of everywhere. Kids coming out, coming to the same areas. So, you know, like I said, I got a couple eighth graders. Jackson Nicolos from Lynn got his first varsity goal the other day as an eighth grader. So
cool.
You know, it's stepping up. It doesn't matter. As long as you work hard, you get to play. That's all that matters. So, and he got a great goal to get us the tie there a couple of days ago. So,
Mike, in high schools and in public schools and some of the schools that, you know, have a really diverse population in terms of where the kids come from and so on and what their, you know, what their activities are after school, do you have to keep your eye on your kids' academic record at St. Mary's, or that pretty much something you don't have to worry about?
It's public school and private, and it's pretty much a standard for through the MIA. Mm-hmm. You have to have a certain GPA or,
right.
You know, St. Mary's, it's depending on what grade you're not passing or academically doing. But we have definitely, we also do well academically, mm-hmm. too. We have a little team thing we do. We have study group once a week where the kids spend an hour after school going over doing homework for 1 hour or the study group session along with, we do game film after that. So,
excellent. All right, listen,
keep it all around. So,
give me a highlight for this season, Mike, because I know that early on you guys were winning and doing pretty well, but give me one or two real highlights that have sort of been a signature for your guys this year.
Yeah, I have to say I was very proud. I know we got a loss against Concord Kyla, who's a phenomenal team, and you go in there, it's a powerhouse. You see everybody with club soccer, which is premier soccer around in Massachusetts, and these kids all play there. And he's got 100, 200 kids trying out for varsity. Hmm. And I go in there with 27 kids in my whole program, and going in there at halftime 0-0 made me proud just with those kids. We gave them a good game. They got one in, and then we came right back and scored. And then with only 10 seconds to go, you know, I think just fatigue set in. But we gave them a great game, and they definitely are a powerhouse over there in Concord. But that was a great moment. And then playing Archbishop Williams at our field, we went down there and had a tough call called against us for the loss. And I think revenge came back when we were up 3-0 and a half, just to give them it right back to them at our field. So those are two great games we played well this year. So we're trying to keep the momentum for playoffs.
Hi, Coach. This is Tim Kearns. I watch a little bit more soccer than I think Rick does. I think you started to mention what kind of formation you use. Do you use a 4-4-2 in order to keep your defense balanced and help out your two forwards up front, your strikers?
Yeah, well, we did. We've been starting, like I said, the beginning of the season, we started with the 4-4-2 formation. I went with more of a power, and I've been playing a 3-4-3 formation, pushing up another midfield, so I'm trying to get more attackers. Because I have the confidence in my three defenders, so we're getting more offense. Instead of sending six, now we're sending seven up. I think that's why we're scoring more goals this year.
You know, James Cook, the president principal at Gloucester High, used to be the soccer coach, and I had the opportunity while he was there to talk a lot of soccer with him as I was just beginning to watch the game more and more. And what he liked to do was almost attack at everybody, but it was almost like a circular coverage. You rotated up, and if the man behind you rotated up, you simply fell back and fell into his position. You play that kind of philosophy as well. If there's an opportunity to attack, yeah. And players just have to be aware that they have to cover behind.
Yeah, we do the exact same thing, pretty much. You know, like I said, Christian, who plays in the middle, he loves to make runs, and he's fast and quick and agile, and he makes a good give and goes with some of the other players. And if he moves forward, these kids, they know who's covering and dropping and filling in the zone to drop back to play in his spot. So they do a great job of filling in those spots.
You know, it's one of the frustrating things when I watch European soccer, especially in some of the lower half teams in Premier League. They don't do that. They don't rotate up. They're almost afraid to move beyond their assignments. And so, you know, they've got two, maybe three guys attacking against five, six defenders, and you're never going to get opportunities that way. And I'm always going, get up. And I don't even coach the game.
Yeah, Europeans are a little bit more possessive, so they want to hold the ball. A team that possesses the ball more, so it's a little more possessive in possession, mm-hmm. is the style. And, you know, it will come over here one of these days. You know, high school soccer, and most coaches will try not to do, but kick and run is what we do because the skill's not there with diverse kids. But it's coming here. It's working its way slowly to implement all that into the U.S. program.
Okay, Mike, I got a question. St. Mary's, the past few years, has just had some really dominant athletic teams across the board, both boys and girls. How competitive is it amongst the coaches when you know you've got a football team that's been really playing well, you know, girls hockey, girls soccer, basketball, baseball, across the board, that, you know, boy, I got to get a team. I got to get wins because I don't want to be the guy that lets down the school.
Well, yeah, we had an open house yesterday, and I was talking to Coach Sturgeon yesterday, and I'm wishing him the best because they have a chance to be tied from correct co-champs for the league, and we just won the league outright. And he goes, good job. You know, we're going back and forth there with football, but, you know, because I lose some kids to football and he loses some to soccer. But, and then with Frank and Mark Lee, I'm good friends with them for hockey, you know, and same thing, you know, it's about the title, state championship, and I know, you know, Mark Lee had it last year just like I did, and we went to the state final, and it's just a battle. You know, we're great friends and everything, but that's one of the things we have with each other. So,
but that also trickles down to the kids, that you know, you want your team to be as successful as the other team, and that has to be a great motivator and force to drive these kids.
Well, I can tell you, I got a couple of kids that played in the basketball team with Mr. Brown last year. Like, I got a ring, I'm going to get one in soccer. So that's the drive they have. And I had a soccer player last year that played and got all the way to the state finals, and then played basketball, and then played football this year. So we can say you can try to get a football ring. So it's just trying to get the title. I think these kids try to earn, to strive towards the winning streak. So.
All right, Mike. I know you got to get the little ones to bed. So what's next now for St. Mary's soccer?
So we got four regular seasons left, regular season games left. We got Malden Catholic tomorrow night, and then we're playing senior night here against Greater Lowell, and we're going in the Cape Ann. We're playing North Reading and Pentucket this upcoming weekend and next week, and then we're moving forward towards playoffs. And you know, I know Cape Ann's got a solid team this year with Manchester, Essex, and Hamilton, Wenham, and Linfield. So we got a little bit of work to work on, but I think we should do well in the playoffs, and we're just looking forward to that in a week and a half.
All right, we'll talk to you later, Mike, and keep those reports coming in. They're excellent. We really appreciate it. They're a lot of fun to listen to.
I appreciate you guys so much. So thank you so much, and have a good night.
Take care, Coach. Coach Mike D'Agostino of St. Mary's Boys Soccer, and they won, is it Catholic Conference? Catholic Conference. They won their division in Catholic Conference, and I think they're 9-2-2 or something like that. He had texted it the other day, or emailed it the other day. But he calls in every time they have a game and gives these great reports about the kids. It's excellent. And, you know, they don't have to worry about grades.
Well, you have to take the archdiocesan, the archdiocese used to have an admissions test that would be good. You could send it to a number of schools, and you could send it to, it used to be three schools. And I sent mine to St. Mary's, Dom Savio. St. John's Prep had their own admission test. And Austin Prep. This was way back when they were still using rocks and chisels.
And you're right. Good question about the coaches fraternity, because they are successful in everything at St. Mary's. And I know Bill Proposky worked there for a year or two and absolutely loved it. Great staff. You know, every time I've been down there, it's been great with Grace Carter Reagan. And you know, the whole staff, and we talk to the coaches. It's great. Good
yeah,
school.
And
super school.
Yeah, it's been that way for a long time. My sister went there. She's 3 years older than myself. She went there. I opted to go to Dom Tom Savio in East Boston, but half a dozen more of my buddies on the block where I grew up went to St. Mary's, and a lot of the guys I played baseball with in the summer played baseball for St. Mary's, and they were very, very successful. Their football team used to be very, very successful. So this it just followed what they're experiencing today is just following in a long tradition of excellence both in the classroom and on the field of athletics.
We have to take a break. This will be a little bit longer, the longest one we have, a couple of minutes, and then we'll come back with the Revere football coach, Lou Ciccatelli, and we're going to talk some football. We're going to talk some playoff football.
The Porthole Restaurant is a North Shore dining tradition. Enjoy waterfront dining in a casual atmosphere. The Porthole features outstanding quality, quantity, and price. Known for a full variety of menu selections, you must try the award-winning clam chowder, fresh off the boat seafood, lobsters, prime rib, steaks and chops, daily luncheon and dinner specials. They feature spacious and well-appointed function rooms. The Porthole, a great value, a great dining experience. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week on the water on the Linway in Lynn.
The Lynn Museum, located at 590 Washington Street in the heart of Lynn's emerging downtown cultural district, offers a unique perspective on history as told through the experiences of one of America's most consequential cities. Come this fall and see our newest exhibits, Industry and Craft, People at Work in Lynn, and Collecting for the Objects of Lynn. We're open Tuesdays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Saturdays, 9 to 1 p.m., or online at lynnmuseum.org.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
Team up with The Daily Item at itemlive.com, your community information connection. The Daily Item features colorful, timely stories highlighting the North Shore. The new look page focuses on people, places, and things. The Item is presenting news in a user-friendly format. Don't miss any local news or reading features on your neighbors. Check out The Item today. It's all new every day. For home delivery, call 781-593-7700 or go to itemlive.com. Honeydews seasonal favorites are finally here. Nothing says fall more on a crisp, cool morning than a hot pumpkin spice or maple cream coffee. Complement these coffee flavors with a tasty pumpkin muffin, deliciously sweet cranberry apple stick, or a freshly baked tart apple cider donut. Visit our locally owned and operated Honeydew Donut Shops located on the Linway and Western Avenue in Lynn, Eastern Avenue in Malden, Canal Street in Salem, and Meridian Street in East Boston. And experience Honeydew's flavors of the fall today.
All right, back joining us now is Revere football coach Lou Ciccatelli. And Lou, how are you?
Very good, very good. Long day, but a good day.
Yeah, that's good. I know that it brings me great joy to know that you've reversed this trend this year that you had in previous. Of course, last year was a great year, and people are still talking about that. But in several of the past years, you guys started off 4-0, 5-0, and then ran into a buzzsaw. This year, it's the other way around. You started off not winning, and now you've won three in a row. So congratulations on that, and tell us a little bit about the most recent win on Friday.
Sure, yeah, it's been a little bit different. We started out of the gates a little slow this year, lost a couple of real close games, and yeah, we're playing probably our best football, and it's a good time to play your best football about now during the playoffs. So we had a big win the other night against Salem, very good football team. We did a lot of things right, especially in the first three quarters. We moved the ball very effectively in between the tackles. We threw the ball when we needed to. Anthony DeStefano, our senior fullback, had a monster night. He had four touchdowns, got player of the week in the Boston Herald and Boston Globe, and he's a good kid. He's a good captain, and couldn't happen to a better kid. It was a big night. Eddie Sullivan, our quarterback, keeps doing great things. He's been a great leader. And Oscar Lopez and Victor Rivera, the other part of our offense, they put up a lot of numbers. Victor had over 107 yards rushing the football, which set up a lot of the touchdowns.
That's tremendous.
Going for Anthony. So it was a great night. The defense played well. The kids played well. And, it made a big difference for us because it put us in the playoffs.
Was it a close game, Lou, or because the final score was close, was it close all the way?
It got close. It got a little crazy at the end. It was 28-7 with exactly 8 minutes to go in the game. And they came back, hats off to them, and they fought back, and they made it a close game. At one point, coming out of my own end zone, I decided to take a safety just to run some time off the clock, and it got a little hairy down the end. Yeah, but we held on, you know, and I told the guys, you know, against we're playing Chelmsford, and any team we play in the playoffs, we're going to have to find a better way to finish those games if we're going to play, continue to move on in these playoffs.
Is that a Friday night game?
Yeah, it's Friday night up in Chelmsford. Yep, long ride for us.
All right, well, I got another question after this, but have you had a chance to look at Chelmsford yet? I know today's, you know, this is only Monday night.
Oh, no, we have. We've got film. We did a nice exchange with them yesterday, which worked out well. They're big. They're big up front. They're physical. They're very good at what they do offensively and defensively. They got a real good running back, a very good quarterback, and, I think we match up well with them, though. I told the boys that. I think we match up well with them, and I think it's going to be a great high school football game.
You know, Coach, the quality of your wins the last couple of weeks certainly have been character builders for your team, and as you go into a game like this playoffs game against Chelmsford, where, you know, you have to travel to the – it's a long trip. Somehow you're going to have to keep the kids dancing in the aisles to keep them loose. Because the time you're going to be going up there, you're going to be heading into the evening traffic. Then you got to get off the bus. You probably have a short time to warm up, to loosen up. What's the message you give to the kids in those kind of situations?
Well, I think I'll be honest with you. My kids are focused. They're so excited to make the playoffs. They're so excited about winning the last three in a row. So they're pretty focused. I'm not so sure I have to do too much, Tim, but I do know, you know, you're right about the traffic, you're right about that long ride. We're probably going to leave here like around 4:15 just because of that. I'd rather be there early, get them on the field, and do what we have to do, pregame, whatever it may be. But, yeah, it's a long ride, and I can tell you this, though. My kids are focused. There's no doubt about it. I don't think I or my coaches have to do much. I think they're ready to go.
Yeah, and I think one of the traps that I think and you know that the kids have to avoid is, yeah, you got to be excited about, you know, winning those last three games, getting yourself into the playoffs. But now it's game time, it's game face. You have to bring that serious element back into it to again keep the focus on the mission at hand and the execution of the game plan itself.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I'll tell you, I want to make sure I give a good shout out to my coaches too, Jose Escobar, Vin Gregorio, Rob Sasso, and Scott Vlasic, and Nick Russo for all their hard work. I couldn't do it without them. And, you know, my point being is my coaches have been great. We met on Sunday. We watched film on Sunday with the team. We watched Chelmsford on Sunday also. And the boys are real excited. The coaches are excited. The community is excited, even the school. So there's a lot of focus on our part. And we know it's going to be a somewhat of a tough task, but nonetheless, we're looking forward to it.
Lou, you know, you mentioned the assistant coaches, and I've a few coaches I've talked to this year have mentioned how important it is to be able to delegate in high school football. A couple of coaches said when they first started, you know, they felt responsible to do everything. And so do you echo that it's you're able to let coaches, your assistant coaches, do what they do, and then you can focus on what you do?
Oh, without question. Without question. I think when I was younger, I might have been a little bit a little bit sterner in that position. But as you get older, and these guys have been with me forever, most of them are all former players. Of course, Coach Vlasic, the old head Peabody football coach, a good friend of mine. Yeah, they've all got size of the ball. They've all got any input that they need to put in. And, you know, I always tell the kids and the parents that, you know, without these guys, I'm nothing. The program's nothing. They really drive the program. They're hard workers, and you know, I couldn't be any luckier to have a great staff like them.
Well, the only one I know is Coach Vlasic, and I do know he's a great guy and knows his stuff. Lou, I forgot to ask you last week the effect of having the meeting you had, or what the I don't know what to call it, but I know the New England Patriots were involved with the high school. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Oh, sure. Well, we did something called Game Changer, And I happened to go over the summer with one of my colleagues, Doreen DiRienzo, and it's about violence prevention. And we went over the summer to a program at Northeastern University that the Patriots sponsored. It was a great program, learned a lot, and we brought a good message back to the high school. We got a group together to actually go around all the classrooms and teach the kids about violence prevention, which is greatly needed in every community. But we were fortunate enough to keep pushing it, and we got very, very lucky, and they chose us, one of, I think, 9 high schools for the New England Patriots, Bob Kraft, to come on and talk to the student body, and it was a blast.
You know, you really can't say enough good things about the Kraft family and the Patriots organization for the amount of community outreach that they do in bringing various messages and support to not only local communities but charitable organizations throughout the state. It's just an amazing job, amazing commitment that I think Bob and Myra started, and Bob has certainly continued, and that he gets all of his players to buy into it, that they need to be part of this.
Oh, absolutely, Tim. I'll tell you, what an awesome, awesome guy. I was so excited to meet him, and then just sitting and talking with him, down to earth. He took pictures with me, or took pictures with all the students, and just a nice, nice man to take his time out and talk to all the kids. And we also got we got lucky. We had James White. James White came down also, and the kids got a real big kick out of that. They all know who he is, of course, and he's been tearing it up as of lately. So, yeah, it was a wonderful, wonderful day. The Crafts are a wonderful family, and Revere was blessed and very, very fortunate to have them come that day.
Coach, bring back a win from Chelmsford, will you? Will you?
I am going to try my best, I promise you. This is a big one. I want to get it.
All right, Coach. It's great talking with you. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, guys.
Thanks, Lou. Good luck.
Yep. Thanks, Coach. Good luck.
Bye now.
Yeah, this is going to seem weird, Coach, all right? But you know how he...
I feel better.
You know how he was... you have to. How can you not? But you know what he said about Bob Kraft? That's how I feel like when I met Lou and stuff. It's like... I don't know if he understands and these coaches understand how I and other people, I hope, value what they do. And I can't... You know, most people can't do what they do. And you know what he was talking about, Bob Kraft. That's what Lou does for his community. It's what you know, Zerilli does for his, and Driscoll does for his, and all these other coaches. They all do that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I met him when Bill and I did a game up in Revere, and the field was just a horror show. It was a grass field, and the middle was all,
I remember.
All chewed up. Remember that? Remember the mud game we did up there?
Oh yeah, the big. Oh yeah,
40, 40 to 40 was just one big puddle and mud ball.
Paul Ingram is still complaining about that.
But you know, I went down to the field and I had the opportunity to introduce myself. And, you know, it's amazing. Whenever I have the opportunity to meet the coaches for the first time, I introduce myself and I tell them who I'm with. And first thing they always do, and this is kudos to you and to Bill Popowski when you guys come up with this idea, they always thank me for the job that we do in getting coverage out of the games and information on the kids and how much that they appreciate what we've done over the years. So there's a whole lot of kudos that go out to you, Bill Popowski, and Bill Newell that brought your expertise to put all this together 10, 11 years ago now, and that you've allowed me to be part of. So well, a lot of kudos go to you guys.
Well, thank you. I it's all reciprocated, and I think it all goes in both directions. That's what's so great. But the thing is, Tim, all we do is talk. You know, and they do the work. And admittedly, we keep it positive. And I want to. I think that again, with you, all of us, with you and both Bills, and Marty now, and you know, other guys that work with us. You know, we know that we're working with kids, and the message has to be positive. And I know that I've talked with people off the record. I won't mention any names. They do get discouraged. Some of the coaches do get discouraged because of things they can't control. And we do as teachers. We get discouraged when we find something that we can't help a kid on, but you never let it show. And they never let it show. You know, it's always this. And Lou is Lou. That's who he is. I mean, that's...
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, you go around the league, and I'm just... I don't want to seem too weird here, but But I'm very much appreciative of what we get to do, Tim. And I, right back at you, thank you, because you do a great job, and Bill, and it's just, it's a love fest, man.
Yeah.
It's great. Well, but I, no, since you, I really mean that. Talking to these guys is an honor, and I congratulate what they do, and the kids just work their asses off, and they, you know, they get a positive result, and it's great.
Yeah, and for those teams that struggle, you want them to turn around. You know they'll turn it
yes.
around because of the positive direction
sure.
that they get. You know, it would have been easy for Lou to cash it in a few years back when Revere was really struggling. But he's, you know, there's the commitment that those coaches make that they're going and given the opportunity by the administration and of the school and the school committee that if given the time that the kids will buy into the system and they're going to get positive results. Last year you saw, and it began two years ago really, this upswing began, and again the early season success followed by the late season collapse, but it just kept, the late season collapse just kept getting less and less.
And we have been remiss in not getting Mike Broderick on here from Saugus. We will get him on. Mike is, you're not going to find a nicer guy than Mike, and they work so hard, you know, down in Saugus, the numbers are down, and right now it's everything's cyclical, and they're working and working and working and coming up short, and you know that's not who was I talking to? I was talking to Donnie Riley the other day in Gloucester, and Julie Smith, the AD up there, and they were talking about Donnie was telling me some of the comments he hears from the crowd. Now he helps his daughter. He helps coach girls field hockey with Lauren. I forgot her last name.
Gove.
I know. I forgot it when I was talking to her.
I have to ask because I can never remember.
And he was saying a parent was yelling the other day. Now, you know, in Gloucester, the field hockey teams are across the field from where the stands are, okay? So he heard a parent yelling the other day about yelling at Jenna Taramina. She's the goalie. Now, I think they've given up two goals all year.
Yeah.
One was a tie, I think, and one was a loss.
Yeah.
And that's it. She's got 18 shutouts. Well, this guy was yelling at Jenna for her position and telling her where to go. And Donnie said something. He didn't say shut up, but he said something to the effect, will you be quiet, you know, and you don't know what you're talking about. But this is – so I can't do that, and I don't know how coaches – you got to have a thick skin, I think, you know, because most –
oh, you do.
You know.
Believe me,
you know,
do.
It's just – jeez.
Oh yeah, when I've coached back in Maryland and even in Gloucester, there were things that are said behind you, always loud enough for you to hear, and it's just you just have to put the, you know, the little dog collar on, you know, to prevent yourself from turning around or reacting to it.
It's one thing to yell at the coach, but your own home team is yelling at your own kids.
Yeah.
You know, dissing them. It's like, what? I just, you know, it boggles my mind. Like, you've got to be kidding me. I've gone to my daughter's lacrosse games. I don't know what the dog's doing. I got my daughter. Somebody at the door?
No, somebody's home. I thought I heard the cat.
Oh, okay. So you know, lacrosse, and I hear our parents yelling at our kids. Like, oh, my God. All right, let's take a break. I'll check who's at the door, and then we'll come back and check in who's next. Steve Cummings, Wakefield coach. They're going to the playoffs as well, and we'll check all the playoff alignments here in just a minute.
Friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright Double Hung Insert Window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up. Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
All right. Yeah, well, you got that right. All right, we're back, and Wakefield coach Steve Cummings is on the line. And, Steve, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, listen, a little bit of a speed bump on Friday night?
Yeah, you know, we've been playing really well for the past couple weeks and kind of you know, a lot of things that we have been avoiding, you know, turnovers, bad field position, you know, blown coverages in the secondary, just, you know, all those things kind of showed up at once, and we played a really bad quarter, and we just couldn't dig ourselves out of it.
You know, it's almost contagious. So I watched the we did the Peabody Danvers game the other night, and Danvers ended up with something like a 5-1 snap ratio, and Peabody just couldn't get started, and Danvers could, and it's sort of like I don't know. Sometimes I think it's like getting a cold. Once you get the cold, it morphs into another symptom. It's just contagious. And is that kind of what happened?
Yeah, I mean, you get started. We started off on defense. We gave up a fourth down conversion that turned into a touchdown. We fumbled the second snap of the game, and that led to another touchdown. And then I think what happens is, you know, you're down 14-0 with about 8 minutes to go in the first quarter, and guys start pressing. They try to make that big play to get you back into it, and it just leads to another mistake and another mistake. So, you know, it was hard. You know, we ended the first quarter down 21-0. We actually played decent football from there on out.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it was just really bad start. We dug ourselves in a couple holes. We just mentally weren't into it. And, you know, like you said, we needed to be a little bit better on Friday, and we just weren't.
All right, now who do you guys have coming up?
Danvers.
We'll be at Danvers Friday night.
Oh, you're at – okay, so Tim will be there for that game.
Yes, well,
yeah, we know you guys will be doing the radio broadcast, so we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, and I will. I'll get to meet you on the field at the end of the game for some post game comments, Coach.
Oh, that'll be fantastic! It'll be nice to see you guys face to face.
I've often gotten that from coaches when I come to games.
Oh,
so you're the face that goes with the voice. Hope it's not disappointing.
Yeah. No, that'll be good.
What have you looked at for Danvers? What film have you seen?
Well, we've seen their Beverly game and their Peabody game, and you know, the one guy that definitely jumps out at you is the Andres kid, number 10. You talk about a complete football player. The kid does just about everything. He's a stud running back. He runs great routes. He's got good hands. I mean, so in our early tape breakdown, we're really just kind of looking at this kid and figuring out, you know, they use him a multitude of ways. So, you know, we got to make sure that we're on top of things. We know they want to get him the ball. But, you know, the thing is, they have a lot of guys. The Moriarty kid, the tight end, you know, he's solid. The quarterback, I know he's been a little bit injured this year, but the Borders kid, I mean, he can play. He beat you with his legs. He had a nice run against Peabody. I think it was just a design QB sneak, and he ended up just taking it to the house. So they've got enough pieces around a really, really good football player to kind of keep you off balance a little bit. So, you know, defensively, we definitely have our work cut out for us. You know, our side on the offense, I mean, they're going to send pressure. They're going to blitz. They've got incredible athletes. You know, they're just a very, very well put together high school football team. So it's going to be a challenge, but we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, you know, they got a secret weapon too in their place kicker, Zebek. He can kick it a mile.
Yeah, I know they were having some issues with some long snappers earlier in the year, but yeah, the kick game, we haven't seen much of their kicking game because they haven't really been forced to punt too much the last couple weeks. But you know, Sean Terrio is a good friend of mine. He's a Wakefield guy, actually. You know, so me and Sean are pretty close to each other. So I've you know, I know a little bit about his team just from conversations with him. We see them in 7-on-7 stuff over the summer, so we're very familiar with their athletes and their skill set. But you know, until you line it up 11-on-11, I mean, tape can only show you so much. You got to get on the field and you got to see what they have.
I was going to ask. I'm sorry, Coach. One more. I was going to ask Sean about if he keeps one eye on Andover, because I know he was connected up there, and their coach EJ Perry, and they've got a kid, the quarterback EJ Perry. And I was just do you keep an eye on Andover at all?
Well, I know, Coach Terry was the defensive coordinator at Andover for a while, and we actually did a 7-on-7 passing league with them over the past couple summers before this year. And, EJ's son, the kid, you don't talk about the ball jumping out of someone's hand. I like to keep an eye on a lot of the teams that we have some sort of off-season thing with.
Mm-hmm.
Peabody's a team that we look at a lot, Billerica. You know, some of the teams that you do camps with, it's just good to see, guys that you've seen work. It's good to see them have some success. But when you watch Andover play, the Perry kid, when you watch him throw a football, it just, how tight that spiral comes out, his leg drive, his mechanics. I mean, you can tell he's a kid that's worked a lot on his craft. And, he deserves all the success. I know he's got the scholarship to Boston College and everything. But, I mean, you talk about the physicality of him, but just his mindset. And even in the summers, watching him check into different plays, watching some of the hand signals and the eye contact that he makes, how he can get different passing windows open. I mean, as far as high school quarterbacks go, the kid's the real deal.
Hmm.
And they've got skilled guys around him. I mean, it's one thing to be able to throw it in spaces, but to have the receivers, to have the timing, to get in the windows, to do all those things, it's a very sophisticated offensive scheme. And, it's no wonder they're putting up close to 50 a game.
Yeah.
Coach, with Danvers, again, it's the two-headed monster, and there aren't really many teams in this area that have the offensive balance that they do with Borders. He can throw the ball. He can run the ball. You got Andreas. He lines up in the backfield. He lines up in the slot. He lines up as a wide receiver. So they can go strong passing game. They can go strong running game. All depends on what they see coming at them from the other side of the line.
Yeah, I mean, the big struggle defensively is, if you load up against the run, they're going to throw on you. If you bail in your pass game, they're going to run on you. So it really is about trying to disguise certain things, having some movement in your back line, really not tipping off what you're running for coverage. If you can run a couple fronts against them, even zone draw, whatever it is, you got to keep them guessing because they're very well coached. Bruce Rich is over there as the offensive coordinator now, Chelmsford guy for a long time. And, Sean's done a great job of putting really, really skilled coaches around his guys. His teams are incredibly well coached. So it's no wonder they had the success they've had over the past couple of years. But for us defensively, the big thing is you really can't show them the same thing two plays in a row because they're going to take advantage of it. And the big thing that we've told our guys is you can't miss. If you've got the kid lined up in the hole, you have to make the play because he's the kind of kid who breaks one tackle, the Andres kid. He's gone. And those are just back-breaking plays to have. So, we're going to have to take some shots here and there. We're going to have to, sneak some pressure or, disguise some stuff that we're doing. But, it really comes down to making the plays, not getting out leveraged. But it's a tall task because they have skills all across the board.
Noah Friedman for Peabody caught Andreas a couple of times from behind, which blew my mind the other night. How important is quickness on defense, Coach?
It's more quickness and timing. You can have a lot of guys that are fast, but if they don't really have that instinct to get to the ball, it really doesn't work. I mean, we've had some defenses in the past that have had really great team speed, but, sometimes you get caught with, you kind of fall in love with the speed and you think that you can run a lot more things than you really can. I think it's a lot more important just to have guys that understand spacing, that understand leverage, that understand,
mm-hmm.
body placement. Those things can make up for a little bit of what you lack in speed.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've got a kid who's incredibly fast and kind of gets that part, I mean, now you're playing, with just a stud football player. As far as foot speed goes, I don't know if we have a guy on the field that's as fast as Andres is. So if he gets behind us, we might be in a little bit of trouble. But, a lot of it is just, not giving up leverage to the outside. Body positioning, I think, defensively is the most important thing. How you take on blocks, how you keep your outside shoulder free. Sometimes I watch a lot of young football players and I harp on my guys about it. Don't be another body in the pile. Have some spacing. Try to figure out what's going to happen next. A lot of times you see kids, there's a big pile up and everyone's just running towards it. Well, what's another body in a giant pile of people? You're not going to make a play. So we got to kind of stay away from that. We got to space the field out really well, but we don't want to get into a foot race with that kid.
Final question I have, Coach, is you've got Tim will have you and Danvers. I've got Melrose and Gloucester on Friday night. What can you tell me about Melrose?
Keep an eye on number 5.
Okay.
Mike Pedrini is, and I've talked with my coaching staff about it, Mike Pedrini is probably the best player to come out of the Middlesex League in the past decade. I mean, we've had some really good football players around here, but you want to talk about just overall, the kid does everything, and he's, you know, he's probably 5'9". He's got the best balance of any football player I've ever seen. He doesn't take big hits. He just finds a way to keep his legs working, and he runs bigger than he is. If he needs a yard, he's getting a yard. I mean, he finds a way to make plays every single game. And I think we've played against him 7 times, and there's at least 3 times in every game where you look back and go, you know, we had that covered, or we knew that was coming, and he's just got another gear. He's got something about him. I have never seen a kid at this level make the kind of plays that he makes, and he makes it look routine to the point where, you know, you're just expecting it week to week.
Coach, it sounds like you're describing Le'Veon Bell.
it's one of those things where, you know, you can know it's coming. Most people do. I mean, Melrose, as far as what their offensive scheme is, they don't run a whole lot. They just run it really, really well. And if one guy is a split second late or a little bit out of position, Pedrini's going to take advantage of it. And, you know, he's a kid who can win a football game all by himself. Mm-hmm. And, if Gloucester's not prepared for him to get the ball and what they see in the kicking game or whatever, he's a kid who can single-handedly take a team in a really deep run in the playoffs.
Well, it's certainly going to be an interesting matchup with Christian Sanfilippo from Gloucester, their leading running back, who is over 1,000 yards this year, just broke the school's all-time rushing record last week against Saugus.
Yeah, I mean, Melrose defensively, I mean, they're going to be just strict 4-4, which kind of matches up well for them with Gloucester, because you got to have the extra guys in the box.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Morris is the head coach. He's also, he's in charge of the defense. Their defense year in, year out is, you know, it's one of those defenses where you look at it, it looks very simplistic. It's a 4-4 cover 3, so you think that you can get this and you think you can get that, but they're so well coached that, you know, you spend your whole week thinking that there are going to be gaps open, that there's going to be certain space in the field that you can take advantage of, and they just close so quick that, you know, the things you've been working on all week, you realize that, you know, they just played a different level. And Timmy's got those kids humming. Defensively, they're always very sound. And it's just, it's a tribute to what they do. They keep things very simple, but they are incredibly well coached in what they do.
All right, Coach, I know you got them down the road, but good luck this week. I know it's great for you guys to make the playoffs given the start you had, and your kids are doing so well. We'll talk to you hopefully next week.
All right, I look forward to it.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Coach. Best of luck.
Steve Cummings. Thank you. Steve Cummings, the Wakefield coach, the Wakefield football coach, and good heavens, yeah. Those.
Did they play Woburn last week?
Was it Woburn? No, Winchester. I don't know. I've got it right there. I don't know. No. I don't know.
I think it was maybe it was probably Winchester.
I had it there somewhere.
Did we talk to him last week? Right. I think it was.
Yeah,
Winchester.
I think it was. It was either Winchester or Wilmington. But I had it. You can go up here and just. I just had it up here, and I don't know where it went now. I don't know. You can if you
go back.
I tried to and it won't go.
Oh, okay.
If you type in right here in the Google thing, just put type in Wakefield football and see what happens. All right, so you know what we can do is let's go over the schedule here. Did we do all our spots? I think I might have one or two more to do. Why don't we do that? We'll take a break and we'll come back, go over the schedule, and let you know who we're broadcasting and so on. And Nick Kukuru will also be on board. You're listening to North Shore Sports Night on MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore. Tim Kearns is here. Our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. We'll be back.
Looking for a reliable place to produce your team's uniforms or your business's corporate apparel? Then Sauk Asian Sportswear is the place for you. Conveniently located on Route 1 South in Peabody, Mass., Sauk Asian Sportswear handles all aspects of your needs, from price quoting to providing visual proofs to production completion. Visit our website, SaukAsianSports.com, to view our monthly specials, vendor catalogs, and to request a quote. Remember, Sauk Asian Sportswear is the place to go.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
All right, we're back now with the sports editor of the Gloucester Daily Times, Nick Kukuru. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
We're doing good. We just got through talking with the Wakefield coach, and he was telling us about number five on Melrose. And I guess Mike Pedrini is the guy that Gloucester will be paying attention to on Friday night.
Yeah, this looks like a pretty epic running back matchup there. Christian Sanfilippo setting the world on fire right now. And Mike Pedrini, I believe he was an All-Scholastic last year when Melrose made the Super Bowl. So he's the real deal from everything that I've heard. I've obviously never seen him play, but I mean, I've heard that he's about as good as it gets in the area as far as running backs are concerned. So it should be a good one. I mean, you know, obviously a tough draw. Melrose battle-tested. But I don't know, I think that those 4-5 matchups are always dogfights.
Well, a lot of that, you know, and again, because, you know, it's the middle of the pack. The teams are fairly equal in terms of talent, in terms of record, and each of them is looking, you know, to really, you know, continue to establish themselves and hopefully set the groundwork for the next season and move up even more.
Yeah, exactly, and that's why it's huge too at Gloucester. I mean, as they have been now 3 of the last 4 years, home in the first round, I think that could end up maybe being the difference. I think that might have been the difference last season. It might have even been the difference in 2013 against Beverly. So, and that's a big home field advantage that Gloucester has. You know, the fans are going to come out for this one. I know they haven't really been out much this season, but I think they'll all be there on Friday night.
Well, Nick, you know, Gloucester has not had any trouble with the South, NEC South, and then when they play the NEC North, they have a little bit of a problem. And I just wonder about strength of schedule. Does Melrose, it would seem up in the Middlesex League, that they have a bit tougher schedule?
Yeah, it's kind of a double-edged sword, though. I thought the same thing last year until I saw that Gloucester-Beverly game. I thought, you know, where Gloucester playing in the NEC South, they're seeding, you know, they get hurt seeding-wise. They were probably more like a 2 or 3 seed last year in that section, but they're fresher. They're the fresher team, probably, than Melrose. I mean, they've played one game against 2 games where they've had to go the distance. So, you know, their starters are fresh. And honestly, I think last year, if you flip the schedules around, you know, if Beverly plays Gloucester's schedule, Gloucester plays Beverly's schedule, Beverly probably wins that first-round game. I just thought Gloucester was a fresher team later. They didn't have to go through Danvers, Peabody, and Marblehead in 3 consecutive weeks. You know, they got, I mean, you know, Saugus is basically a rest. You know, Salem, they could rest their guys, and, you know, so they're pretty fresh coming into this week.
You know, we just got through talking to Steve Cummings from Wakefield, and I said at the end, because Rick had asked him who to watch for on the Melrose team, and he praised Pedrini to the nth degree as well. So you just confirmed what Coach was just telling us. But, I you know, that's just such a marquee matchup, Pedrini versus Christian Sanfilippo. That in and of itself has to draw interest, not only from both team supporters, but from people who enjoy that kind of a matchup.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you know, Melrose, I mean, they have to be good. 5-2 out of the Middlesex League. You know, it's not an easy road for anybody.
No.
But yeah, I mean, that's probably the 2 best running backs in the section. I know Jason Lopez from Marblehead's excellent. You know, Matt Andreas from Danvers is really good too. But I mean, look at the numbers they put up. I mean, Pedrini played in the Super Bowl the last 2 seasons. I know he's basically their only starter back this season. And I mean, Sanfilippo has just been unstoppable. I mean, even when they don't block for him, he'll find a way to break a long one.
You know, it's just part of his character. Having had him as a student last year in class, he is, you know, whatever he does, he locks into it. He's focused, and there's a determination that just will not allow itself to be overcome.
Yeah, I mean, he runs so hard, and sometimes you forget, you know, how fast he is when he's running that hard. You know, lower his shoulder, he'll drag 3 blockers, and then, you know, the next run he'll get a little, you know, bit of open field, and he'll beat a defender to the corner that has an angle on him. It's been fun to watch this season, and we'll see. I think Friday it's going to be more of a grinding game for Gloucester. I think we're going to see, you know, Sanfilippo. I don't know if he's going to break off, you know, 350 yarders again, but I think we're going to see him, you know, kind of getting those tough yards, big first downs. Who's going to get a couple, you know, extending drive plays late in the game? I think that's what it's going to come down to. Probably a 1 touchdown game or less.
Nick, is there anything about the Gloucester football team that surprised you this year?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I think this actually will be coming up later in the week of doing a little feature story on them. Their offensive line, I don't want to say I was worried about that offensive line, but it's just that there was, you know, 4 guys stepping into starting spots that we didn't know much about. And now that, you know, we know about them, we know what they can do, we know that they were fine all along. They had the players in the program the whole time that we're good enough to do the job.
But, you know, that's been a hallmark of Gloucester football for so long, Nick, as you well know. Even during the great run that Coach Ingram got on, where they were 50-2, it was like every year he needed a right guard, and every year he came up with somebody out of the blue, and the individual was 5'9", 5'10", 175, and you meet the kid in the hall, and you're going, you're the starting guard?
And then he makes the all-star team.
And then they make the all-star team, and they're destroying all these kids that are twice their size in the course of the game because, you know, they were smart kids. They were intelligent kids. They maybe weren't the best athlete, but they took the coaching and they executed to such a high degree that didn't matter how big the kid was, you know, the angle block, the taking them down. I mean, they just did what they were supposed to do, and it opened up the holes for Russell and every kid that was in the backfield behind them.
Yeah, and that's the year that I always go back to. It was actually Connor Russell's year, 2009 season, where, you know, they had two guards that were all conference, Robbie Lowe and I want to say Dylan Morrissey were both in there. I was like, oh, who's going to replace them? You know,
right.
I was even saying to myself, maybe Brett Cahill should move to the line because he's a big body there. And it turned out they had two kids the whole time, and they were both great. I mean, you know, they were stuck behind good players for a couple of years, and they got their chance, and, you know, kid broke the rushing record.
Yeah, and the linemen go on to make all-star status, anything, and wow. I mean, to look at them in the hallways, you go, really? You know,
yeah.
they weren't big. They didn't. They weren't.
No, Dylan Morrissey looks pretty big.
No. But you know, he and Robbie, they were just freaks.
Oh yeah.
But the kids that took their place, and I had one of the kids in my AP class, and I'm trying to think of his name, short kid, Doc Kip. But I mean, he just watched him in the game. He was just destroying people.
The Zach Betancourt, if I remember correctly, he was one of the little guards that they had, and he come out of nowhere and was just very.
He was one of them.
5'7", 150 pounds.
Yeah, and they were just amazing, just amazing. So the kids have come through the system and they filled in. You're right. It's a surprise, but again, it's not a real surprise.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Nick. We'll see you up in the booth on Friday night.
Definitely will.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Thanks for the help, Nick.
Absolutely.
All right,
have a good one.
Talk to you later, Nick Kukuru, the Gloucester Times. All right. Now he's a sports editor at the Times. Let's take a look at what we have here.
I saw a story the other day about how the Cleveland Indians got their name. Got the name the Indians.
Yeah, I did too.
Did you see that?
Yeah, about a one individual player.
One. He was Native American.
Yep, yep.
And he did everything. He was such a great player.
Yep.
And so the Clevelanders just started to call them the Indians because he could run, he could hit. He was the ultimate 5-tool player, they said. He was that good. And I thought that was just an amazing little tidbit in the Globe.
Well, next week we'll probably talk about the Cubs and the Indians.
That's what I wanted to ask next.
When my team's not in it, when the Red Sox are in it, I'm not usually interested. But this, I'm interested in this one.
Oh, there are four guys on the Cubs. There are four guys on the Indians.
Yeah. But the storyline, you know, Cleveland, the city of that never wins anything, and you know they won the NBA championship. Now they get a chance to win the baseball. And Chicago, how long has it been? 10, 20 years, whatever it is.
Oh, it's
1908, I think. So
yeah,
108 years.
It was before the Red Sox won their.
Oh yeah.
Won in 16, 17, 18.
All right. So you were at Danvers on Friday night with Bill Newell. No, with Marty.
With Marty Smith. Bill was away this week.
Okay. Wakefield at Danvers in high school football. That will be on Channel A. On Channel B, Paul Ingram and I will be in Gloucester, and that will be the Melrose at Gloucester game. That will be our live streaming video game. Now, other games, you have Peabody at Westford Academy, that's Division 1A. Division 2, it's Waltham at Masconomet. Division 2A, Melrose at Gloucester, and Wayland at Marblehead, number 8 versus number 1, Wakefield at Danvers, and we hope we can get a report from the Marblehead game. Division 3, it's Amesbury at Bishop Fenwick, and Swampscott at Triton. And we didn't get a hold of Coach Serena.
And Essex Tech will be in Cathedral.
Yep. And what do we have? Manchester let's see. Other games will be Manchester Essex at Marion, Keefe Tech, whatever that is, and Salem is at Winchester. Those are 7 o'clock games. Everything on Friday night, 7 o'clock. Now, on Saturday, it's the prep hosting Acton Boxborough, TBA for the time. And Division 2, it's Somerville at Beverly. That will be a broadcast game with you and I from Beverly. And with you and me, I should have said. And then on also the other game will be Ipswich at Greater Lawrence. Other games on Saturday, Hamilton, Wenham at Whittier Tech, and Proctor at Pingree. That's it. So we'll see you Friday night, Coach. No, we'll see you Saturday. We'll listen to you Friday night.
Yep. There are 10 teams from the Nashua area.
I just want to go back down to Gillette, don't you, this year?
Sure. I love going to the media.
Rooting for all these NEC or CIA. Yeah, I know. Okay, you're going for me. Yeah, that's great. All right. That's it. I appreciate it. Thanks to all the coaches and to Nick tonight. We appreciate it. And to you, Coach, thank you very much. That's Tim Kearns, Bill Proposky, our producer and engineer, the voice of the North Shore, Bill Newell, and I'm Rick Moore. See ya.